Yeah, and Charles Olson, you were talking about you wanted to hang around him to see how the world is organized. And it's very interesting because I'm reading a doctoral dissertation on how he was influenced by Whitehead and quantum physics and 20th century physics through Whitehead. And how the world is organized is a lot different with Olson than it is with most of the Western world. Most of the Western world is still very much under the Newtonian Cartesian spell of competition and domination, and the mind separate from the body and people separate from nature. And Olson's whole poetics and his philosophy, which is expressed through his poetics, expressed through his poetry, is of an organismic nature of everything being connected. Now, of course, Chinese have known this for 5,000
Well,
years.
that's funny you said that, because Olson at the time, I remember his saying, "I'm hoping I live long enough to discover that Chinese is an Indo-European language."
He didn't live that long.
But a neat thing happened while we were there. There was one of our young guys, I don't know, can't remember who it was now, like one of our young poet people. I really like young poets who are really into something else, like mathematics or architecture or something, right? I forget who it was now, but who knew a lot about continental drift, which in 1963 was still a contentious theory for some reason, right? Or for a lot of people, and was talking about continental drift. And Olson's like, great big shaggy eyebrows like lifted up in the middle of his forehead, and he just grabbed this kid and just like made the kid tell him everything, right? And that's the way Olson was about everything. Like Olson had, when Olson was sitting there in Buffalo with all these young poets around him, he would designate, they would become like his agents for finding stuff out. And he says, "You find out everything there is about Mesopotamia." And that's what these guys would do, right? So then they created that series, where he had left a whole pile of things on the blackboard, and they all took stuff off the blackboard, and each one of them got one phrase and wrote a whole sequence, a book about it. I forget what that series is called. But that's the way Olson was. Like he was a kind of he was a little bit like a famous architect or like those Renaissance painters who would like get other he couldn't do all the work himself. Right, so he just like everybody else had to joined in on it.
Apprentices.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
We're talking with George Bowring, the first parliamentary poet laureate of Canada, and also a teacher, the teacher of poetry at the Victoria School of Writing summer session, the 10th annual summer session of the Victoria School of Writing. I'm Paul Nelson. You mentioned notation. This young man, 19 years old, able to correctly get Olson's the way he lays it out on the page, and you say it's notation rather than line breaks. William Carlos Williams spent his whole life trying to figure out, it's all about the line. There's a passage from Patterson that I wrote, something that's from book two, and I have it right here, and it's, "Without invention, nothing is well spaced unless the mind change, unless the stars are new measured according to their relative positions. The line will not change. The necessity will not matriculate. Unless there is a new mind, there cannot be a new line. The old will go on repeating itself with recurring deadliness."
It's Emerson anyway.
Was it?
It's Emerson again.
But the notion of notation is something you talked about in class. That's how you talk about line breaks. It's notation
for
breath.
And notation is like is part of the gut work of measure, right? So your notation is easy, kind of easy to understand when you're talking about music, right? And if you can read music, except for a lot of contemporary music, notation will consist of things like an HB pencil scraped over the edge of a cymbal or something like that.
Grunt here.
Yeah, but what's implicit in talking about notation is you read this in order to tell how the poem is spoken out loud. But that's the implicit, but what should also suggest is the notation came into the poem from the poet's listening to wherever that was coming to for him, right? But also, as Olson says, treating your own body that's going to be the producer of this poem he thought you could do it as an object. We know that ain't true. It's impossible, right? But Olson, and I think Olson knew it wasn't true too, but Olson wanted to do it as a kind of a corrective to those people who said, "Oh, I've got this like gorgeous, lovely consciousness in my head that if I could just like get rid of all the things that are restraining me will pour out the beautiful poetry I have inside, right? Olson says, nah. Olson says, like, if you got a loose tooth, that's going to be found out in the poem, right? It's that wonderful poem of his where the only reason the poem comes to an end, it comes to an end as old, good old poems used to with a end rhyme. It's that one where he's going along in this poem and a fly is loose in the room, right? And the fly is bothering him and stopping him from paying attention to where the poem is going. And he finally winds up killing the fly right, in the poem. And he rhymes, oh, what does he rhyme? Was something, something was the way this fly does. I can't remember exactly how it goes, but it's a lesson to people that that Olson is paying close attention to something outside himself or something that seems to be outside himself. And then along comes this interference. God, some people might think, well, William Blake would have said, God sent that fly. Or maybe God is that fly, right?
And, you know, those who are knowledgeable about field theory would say that's all part of your field. So
yeah.
You're somehow resonating that, and that's why it came in. Yeah. And Jack Kerouac would say something about the winter fly in the medicine cabinet.
Jack would have been worried about the death of the poor
exactly,
little thing.
Exactly, that's right.
Yeah. Suffering. The it's winter, suffering and death.
The winter fly in my medicine cabinet has died of old age. Yeah. That was his idea about that. Yeah. So he wouldn't be swatting it.
Yeah.